Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Hello, strange and wonderful human being. Welcome to my channel. This is the Vedic Astrology Study Podcast Study Group. Okay, just to give an introduction to those who haven't been here before. And in this one, I'm going to examine or start a discussion, really, of intimacy aspects. Once again, I got some downloads, so I want to share that with you. Intimacy between couples, husband, wife, man, woman, boyfriend, girlfriend, you call it any names you wish. That's hardly the point here. So I shall be doing a series of extension podcasts to the earlier ones on this playlist. This will be a part of a playlist. You can go through the other previous ones on intimacy with nakshatras, since it seems to be doing the rounds right now. Lots of people are watching those, so I thought I'll make a proper extension of these. Now, this podcast, as the Vedic Astrology audiobook series also, there I have stuck the slide on the screen, how I am doing these. Okay, I'm using a degree of AI here to refine my course notes. I've taken two courses on Vedic Astrology certification courses. So the notes from both of those that I have gleaned from the textbooks of Vedic Astrology that I have, what I do is I feed it to the GPT, and I have my prompt, I have my input query, and then I refine and restructure it, because GPT tends to make a lot of errors. It's just a correlation machine, so I have to sort of refine and restructure it and then again feed it back. This is the feedback loop. In many cases, like even this intimacy stuff, I've added on a layer of deep research on the topic that I'm doing. So you, in the slideshow, you will see that. I'm also available on YouTube, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Pandora, and many other podcast directories. You can listen up on that as well. Learn as you go kind of thing when you're driving, or when you want to share it with your friends on Spotify. I'm there as well, as Vedic Astrology Study Group. So that being the introduction, let us get started on this. Do share with your friends and family. You might not be having intimacy issues, somebody else might be. You never know when things are going to be helpful to someone or where they are on this subject, isn't it? So it's useful just for you to study or your friends and family to know about this. So let's get started. Before I begin, I wanted to share a couple of personal notes on intimacy. I have already covered the gray areas of intimacy, what is intimacy by nakshatras, what are the fall points, the 8 compatibility factors of intimacy in this playlist. It's all built on the AI voiceover, so people get bored with that robotic voice. But if you're a learner and if you're truly interested in intimacy and what that means between two human beings, you would go through that, because it gives very realistic examples. It's a long essay, so that's why I haven't bothered reading it out. Anyway, intimacy is a conscious exercise, folks. It is not something that is God-given or born with you, and you just dump two people together and you expect them to be intimate. That's not the way it works. And here, we are trying to borrow the traditional aspects of Vedic Astrology and what that has to say about intimacy between two people and how that would work out. So according to Vedic Astrology, the basic compatibility is between the positions of moon, and we are talking about nakshatra level here, like it is already covered in intimacy of nakshatras. So position of nakshatras and ganas, dev gana, rakshas gana, manushas gana, okay, between 1 and 3 positions, 1 and 4 positions, 1 and 7 positions, 1 and 10, and 1 and 11. So in this slides I will cover that. So first let's talk about 1-2-3 relationship. If your partner's moon and your moon shares this, what is the dynamic playing out there? This is supposed to be a good one. I'm covering only the good ones here. Moon's partner in third house or 1-3 relationship, not third house necessarily, but 1-3 in terms of nakshatras as well. And we shall see that. I might even do some case studies to substantiate this later. Summary, why is it auspicious? A 3-11 moon alignment, okay, moon third from the other, or counting it backwards, 11th from the first, is classically rated as highly auspicious. It connects one person's initiative, communication, third house, technically, and with the other's fulfillment and gain. Think of the 3-11 relationship also, which you can find on this channel. Apply the same principle here, creating a mutually supportive loop of courage and coming to fruition. Together, they create a cycle of setting and achieving goals as a couple, as a team. There's a teamwork energy playing out between man and woman here. Emotional and psychological themes, these become friends and teammates. Okay, this often feels like a close relationship, the energy of 3-11 playing out as partnerships within a marriage. Communication flows easily, there is a sibling-like camaraderie, open dialogue. The third house influence sparks effort and skills. The 11th house side brings in networks and optimism. You see, take all the 3 and 11 house. You can take third house, 11th house, 3-11 relationship here. It's covered on this channel. You can just have to search my channel. Partners encourage each other's plans and dreams and tend to be constructive together. After all, you want a constructive partnership. Spiritually, this can indicate a harmonious karmic friendship. Keyword there. Potential friction and imbalances. The tone can be very rational or fraternal, risking a lack of overt romance if other factors don't compensate. The third can introduce a friendly competition or occasional quote-unquote I'll challenge you energy. The 11th house person must not treat the partner just like a friend. As Upachya houses, Upachya is something that grows with time. The 3-11 improve with time and conscious effort. Not just effort, conscious effort. First, both the partners must try to understand their nakshatras and what is their drive of intimacy. That's also covered on this channel. You can look up the intimacy of nakshatra in this playlist. Ideal expression would be best friend marriage. This is a friendly partnership. You consider each other's best friend, support each other. The partners exchange ideas freely, tackle projects together and cooperate to achieve life goals. Each feels as if, quote unquote, my partner gets me, supports my hopes, unquote. Mutual growth is a hallmark. They spur each other to become best versions of themselves with a comfortable give and take that leaves both feeling fulfilled. Now this is the first one, 1-3. Now let's take 1-4 and see what plays out. What happens in 1-4 relationship? So moon, it's not necessarily in the ascendant, okay? I'm talking about the difference between the positioning of the moons and nakshatras. So don't take this as the ascendant necessarily, moon in ascendant. No, moon can be in any of the houses. It can be in third house, so fourth house from that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, seventh house. Between third and seventh house also can be the case. So it's the distance between the moon of one individual to another individual, man or woman, it doesn't matter. So let's see what that 1-4 relationship plays out as. Why is auspicious? The 4-10 relationship is an auspicious Kendra relationship. This is there in the course. You can do my course also. Its audiobook is already there if you choose to. Providing pillars for a household. The partner's moon in the other's fourth house of emotional foundation and home deeply nurtures and roots the relationship, while the counterpart 10th side supports public life and duty. It's a natural harmony of heart and home, favorable for building a strong foundational happy family. Emotional and psychological themes, nurturer and shelterer. One partner provides warmth, hospitality and domestic tranquility, while the other feels emotionally seen and safe. Therefore, it becomes harmonious. The fourth is a Sukha Bhava or happiness factor, the heart center. So the moon here provides comfort and emotional security. Strong home-oriented dynamic, intuitive attunement to each other's needs, often feel like home from the start kind of a bond. As a moksha house, the fourth adds a soulful past life kinship tones. There might be a past life relationship which they are continuing in a nice way. Not all karma is bad, by the way. That's just a point of view. Potential friction or imbalances. If roles polarize, one always becomes a caregiver. Dependency and resentment may brew. The fourth house moon, not necessarily fourth house, fourth position moon, may become overtly sensitive or protective. The other might feel smothered. The square to the 10th indicates potential tension between personal life and public life, 4th house and the 10th house. He's using the extension principles here. Balance, therefore, is the key. Ideal expression, the classic happy home. One offers refuge of love and understanding. The other reciprocates by creating stability, honoring that care and taking care of the external world. Balance of inner and outer life. Home life and public life. Profound private happiness alongside respected social standing. These tend to become power couples. Steady growth over time, like deeper roots of 4th and taller stature of 10th. Now let's see 1-7 relationship. In the 1-7 relationship, this is right opposite, isn't it? 1-7, like Aries and Libra, or like Taurus and Scorpio. You can take this any way you want. We will match the nakshatra level a little later on. Summary. Although it looks at it as opposition, it is just standing opposite to. It is not opposing anything, okay? This is not Western astrology. This is Vedic astrology. Summary. Why is it auspicious? Opposite moons in each seventh from each other replicate the natural spouse axis. Your spouse is seventh house, isn't it? This is one of the best placements, a powerful complementary connection akin to a full moon, fullness of a relationship. Each partner's emotional nature counterbalances the others, forming a classically quote-unquote complete pairing. Emotional and psychological themes that might play out is a yin-yang kind of balance. Immediate magnetic attraction might happen through mirroring and complementarity. Each finds the other in quality they lack, and therefore it is attractive. Sort of opposites attract phenomena. Strong rapport and direct emotional exchange can happen. Heightened other awareness, you're really aware of the other partner. Often a soulmate or a fated quality and highly charged romantic and sexual chemistry and a kama house link. Kama, not karma. Kama means desire. Potential friction or imbalances that may arise. Polarity can create either great harmony or constant tension. It's like extremities, isn't it? Differences are highlighted without compromise. A tug-of-war scenarios ensues. Risks include projection, over-dependency and boundary issues. It's a big boundary issue between 1 and 7. With maturity and respect, opposites teach each other crucial lessons and become a robust, balanced union. Like you can already begin to see, it's not all roses, there is a consciousness involved. I'm hoping that these kind of podcasts will help you in your relationship. Ideal expression, partnership of equals. A perfect give and take where each supports what the other needs at any given time. Unspoken understanding. Fair compromises and enduring spark of romance and sexual chemistry can be an outcome. It's conscious effort again. The alignment illuminates each partner's psyche, catalyzing wholeness and emotional illumination. This was 1-7. Let's talk of 1-10 now. So what happens in 1-11? Let's see. The slide, attention there. Why is it so auspicious? The 10th is a flip side of 4th, and 4-10 axis widely favored. 1 to 10 relations. Partner's moon 10th energizes career duty and public life. This becomes more of a public life to personal. The relationship emphasizes shared goals, worldly cooperation, and often bringing material stability and social aspect. This is the power couple. Partners, emotional, psychological theme for these partners would be partners in endeavor, the power couple. The bond centers around mutual ambition, duty and accomplishment. Like what you want to do to the external world becomes the focus here. the moon person intuitively supports the other's vocation. It becomes all about public presence, isn't it? Public role. Think of all the rich kind of people here. The 10th house partner feels encouraged in their life direction. So purposefulness, pride, familial pride, deep bond of respect and reliability. This is the tone of the relationship. Understand from that perspective, tone of the relationship. Potential friction or imbalance. Work, home, public, personal life balance becomes in a sense. You must take care of that kind of an aspect. Emotional polarization are the main challenges. Work-life balance and emotional polarization. The relationship may often feel overtly managerial or duty-oriented if romance is neglected. There's less of romance and more of appearances, isn't it? Beware of power dynamics. Ensure accomplishments are ours and not just you and me, not one-sided. Protect privacy, intimacy amid public responsibilities is the suggested way to go. Ideal expression, synergy between home and career, compassionate grounding, effective leadership. They become excellent planners, problem solvers who can celebrate milestones in their life and maintain warmth in the family. A marriage with purpose, leaving legacy while preserving emotional closeness. Now let's see 111. So now the 111, which is similar to 1 and 3, isn't it? It's the same 311 dynamic. Complements to the 1 and 3rd, completing the 311 axis. The 11th labha or gains or your social networks, fulfillment of desires come into play here. This alignment suggests the relationship will feel rewarding and help each person attain what they seek emotionally, materially and also in the social networks. 11th house or 11th position is typically social networks, very social birds relationship. They want to go out as a couple. These couple you will always find hanging around with other friends all the time, celebrating something, making wide social networks, that kind of a couple. Emotional psychological themes, best friends and cheerleaders. They instantly become familiar on a friendship level. They tend to compare their common goals. What do you like? What kind of hobbies do you have? This is that kind of an exploratory couple. Easy camaraderie and mutual acceptance. Encouragement of big dreams and future orientation becomes the key here. Slightly different from the 1-3. Rich social life, like I said, collaborative hobbies. They do things together, go gym together or, you know, go Zumba together or go outdoors hiking together. That kind of collaborative hobbies they share. They make that the foundation of their relationship. And an uplifting, we've got this kind of a teamwork. Freedom within togetherness, beautiful one. Potential friction or imbalances may be risk of leaning too much on friendship and too much on group, too much of outward activities, etc. at the expense of one-on-one depth. There always, if you're going into friends and social life, you lose that personal depth, isn't it? That intimacy of one-on-one. Important to consciously include romance and emotional vulnerability also. Ensure support is mutual, not one-sided again. That never works. Because of the upachya nature, that is growth through time for the 11th house nature, it means it improves with time, provided you give it time and not just run away from the relationship, which is very common these days. Ideal expression, marrying your best friend. A joyful, flourishing union combining companionship and love. Shared adventures, goals, space for individual growth, and a secure attachment built on unconditional support. Make time for personal one-on-one, because these couple tends to get lost in the crowd, so to speak. Often attracts fortunate opportunities through united, optimistic look. I met couples like this. These are very optimistic couples, very nice to hang out. They're social birds. They will always call you home for a drink or something. You know, that kind of a couple. That is 111. Now let's put all these things together and see on the table right there. 1 to 3rd. Key emotional themes, friendship, easy communication, sibling-like support, best buddies vibe. Traditional merits, cooperation, teamwork, towards goals, prosperous, growth-oriented, intellectually stimulating. potential pitfalls. May feel platonic if romance is neglected. Friendly competition, keep the passion alive is the goal. 1-4, nurturing. Home is with you. Emotional safety. Domestic warmth. This is what it provides. Each one provides a particular signature if you notice. Traditional merits are strong domestic harmony. Auspicious Kendra balances 4th and 10th, duty and home. Potential pitfalls, role polarization, over caretaking, work home strain, guard against smothering. 1-7, completeness, a yin yang kind of balance, strong mirroring, the other half kind of pull, magnetic pull. Model of balanced partnership, high mutual understanding and attraction. Pitfalls may be polarity can cause clashes, needs get compromised, and respect for differences needs to be there. 1-10, collaboration, ambition, mutual respect, a power couple. Stability, success, social esteem, marries artha with moksha. What is a potential pitfall? Can become too duty oriented, power dynamics, so protect intimacy. 1-11, friendship based love, optimism, team spirit. Merits being fulfillment of desires, cooperation, adaptive, and improves over time. Pitfalls over platonic risk, ensure romance and mutuality of support. Now let us get into the details by nakshatra. Every nakshatra I will deal with this one, each one of the combinations, and we see what plays out by nakshatra characteristics now.